praise God. Look at somebody and say, you look better than you did the last time I saw you.
Did you say that?
I can't believe you said that. It's a joy to be here. And listen, when you were playing that song with Matt Redman, that's what I woke up to listening this morning.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And I enjoy Matt. I don't know if you listen to a lot of his music, but he's got some awesome, awesome stuff out there that we've been listening to for the last several years. And you can't go wrong with that. I want to say thank you to Pastor Scott and Valene there. They're top shelf people. They came back from vacation early so that they could take me out. They're just finding out about that right now. He said we were family. No. But they came back, and it's really an honor to be here. We do appreciate it. Listen, I don't know if I've been here since I had the liver transplant. I got to thinking about that this morning during worship.
I think
you were back once.
Was I here once? Okay, well, you know, the Lord's faithful, and I had my two-year checkup here about, 2 months ago in August. I guess it's more than 2 months ago now. But I had it in August, and they said I'm doing okay. My liver isn't quivering anymore. And when we were singing that one song about, you know, thanking God for life, I really thank the Lord for life because we were that close. And then I'm really grateful. My wife, Kathy, she sends her love to y'all, and she regrets not being able to be, but we made a choice. I made a choice. We've been doing a lot of traveling recently and just said, honey, if you know, you need to get the rest. And so she's at home recouping and just getting stronger. But last November, we were in Santa Barbara, California with John and Julie Iman. And I don't know if you guys knew about this, but while we were out there, we flew out and we were going to be with them on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. We were going to do a healing service on Sunday night. And so Saturday we flew in, and one of, I think it was Tim and Stacy, one of their daughters that we've known for many years, a little girl, they invited us to go to her birthday party. And so we went. We're always up for party, especially if there's ice cream. You know that it's 7 days without ice cream makes 1 week. And so I have to have my daily or monthly dose or weekly dose. Anyway, we were out there, and first, we don't know what caused it, but Kathy passed out and hit her face right on a tile floor, knocked all the teeth out of her upper mouth part, and immediately, I thought she was goofing around. Some of you don't know, but my wife is the comedian of the two of us, and so I thought she was cutting up. And I got down and I saw the blood, and I knew it wasn't a joke. And I looked at her in the eyes, and her eyes were glazed over, and she wasn't breathing.
Wow.
And I'm grateful for the body of Christ because Tim immediately got down by next to me. I'm looking right into Kathy's eyes, and I begin to scream, "Come back, Kathy, in Jesus' name. I refuse to allow you to die in Jesus' name." And Tim was yelling, "Come back, Kathy, in Jesus' name." And after a couple of minutes, she went like this and started breathing, woke up in the ambulance, and didn't know what was going on. They ran all kinds of tests. Gratefully, we were with, number one, we were with believers. And we have a prayer team. They're praying for this service right now, by the way.
Amen.
And everywhere we go, they know where we're at, and they're praying for us. And gratefully for them, we were had that prayer covering. We were Christians. The Imans are powerful, powerful people. And anyway, they ran all kinds of tests on Kathy. Couldn't find out why that happened. And Sunday afternoon, we were scheduled to speak Sunday morning and Sunday night. Well, we couldn't do that Sunday morning. I was still in the hospital with Kathy. And that afternoon, we determined I was going to go to church and minister that night and do the healing part of the service anyway. Well, at 5 o'clock, the doctor calls and said to Kathy, "We can't find out what caused it. We can't find anything wrong with you. They ran double EKGs, EEGs, did all kinds of blood work, did stress tests, all kinds of things. They doubled up because they wanted to find out what would cause somebody to do that, and they couldn't find it. So at 5 o'clock, he says, I've got to discharge you because I can't find what caused it. And as a result, she was discharged. So we're walking out of the hospital at 5:15. The service was scheduled for 6 o'clock. At 6:05, we walk into the church service, and people were shocked to see Kathy because they knew what had happened, of course. And I don't tell her I said this, but she knocked out all of her teeth on her upper level except one, right in the middle. And it was in the shape of a fang. And she looked like she got hit in the face with a 2x4. I mean, her face was swollen, black and blue. And I was trying to figure out, how am I going to explain this? Because I know somebody's going to think of husband abuse. But anyway, at 6:15, she stood up and started preaching. And one of the things that we got out of that whole experience is that the enemy wants to stop you from speaking. Yep. And he was trying to literally, finally, eternally silence Kathy. And he was trying to do that. He tried to do that with me with the liver issue and all of that stuff. But we've come to understand that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up that standard, and that standard is the Word of God. And that's why, you know, it may seem like it's a little bit, you wonder about, well, doing the Bible quiz and that kind of stuff. Listen, the only thing that's going to stay in your heart that's going to help you stand against the enemy is the Word of God.
Amen.
Because heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will what? Remain forever and ever. And so I want to just encourage you. Kathy's, she's not black and blue anymore, thank God. And she's doing extremely well. And we're just honored. By the way, I want you to know, Sylvia's doing a wonderful job with FCM.
Yes.
She's got her sense of humor back. And I know that because I've called Sylvia this affectionately. I would say to Sylvia, ever since we've met, hi, Sly Sil. And she would say, well, how is Gregarious Gary? And I don't know where she gets that gregarious part from, but she's doing remarkably well, and God's just doing some neat things. We're going to be meeting. I heard somebody in here is in Brazil right now. We've got a team that's meeting in November down in Florida, not too far from our house, and we're going to be meeting with, we've got two Brazilian congregations in Florida. And they're just wonderful people. I love preaching in the Brazilian church because they've got good food after every service. You know, feed them and they will come. And it's true for preachers. But they'll be meeting and with Wayne and with Ted and Rose and all them about going to Brazil. Of course, Sylvia will be there. But it's just exciting what God's doing. And by the way, you just... I don't know if you've ever been in a Brazilian congregation, but they speak Portuguese. Okay, it's not Spanish, it's Portuguese. And, you know, when you speak in English and you have it translated in Spanish, if you preach this much in English, they translate this much in Spanish, okay? It's basically one-to-one, okay? But when you speak in English and they translate it into Portuguese, it's like, this much English is this much Portuguese. So you've got to stay focused on what you're saying. But they're delightful people. Pastor Antonio dos Santos is the pastor of the Brazilian Church of Love in Orlando. And then Victor Isidoro de Freitas, pastor of the church in Fort Myers. Well, today I have a word I believe God wants us to. I promise I'll have you out in time to watch the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Cheering.
Do the Eagles, are they a professional team? No, I'm sorry. Listen, You know, they sold the Broncos, the Denver Broncos. They sold them to a group of investors from the Philippines. I don't know if you knew this. Now, they changed the name from the Denver Broncos to the Manila Folders. So, anyway, unless you're a football fan, you don't get that joke. Denver's 0-4 for the first time in a long time. And I might get in the raspberries from a certain Pete Thompson.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure Jim's doing something up in heaven about it, too, since Dallas is undefeated. But I'm going to talk to you. What is God looking for? What is God looking for? And I'm going to land on a particular area, but there's several things I want to encourage you to look at concerning what is God looking for. Luke 19:10, and this is going to be kind of like a sword drill today, okay? So you probably won't be able to keep up with me in terms of turning the pages, but just jot down these notes because I am going to land someplace for a few moments and expand on one area. But Luke 19:10, it says this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." God's looking for lost people. And the reason I'm speaking on this is if whatever God's looking for is what I want to look for. Amen? I tell people this. I want to make it hard to go to hell from wherever I'm at. I want to be so HIM positive that I infect everybody that I come in contact with. I want to be so full of Jesus. One of my bucket list kinds of things, spiritually speaking, is that it would be incredible to have the same kind of anointing that Peter and those others, as they would just walk into a room and people's lives would be transformed just by being in the shadow of somebody. And, you know, it's not like that old hymn of the church, "Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus." You know, that song is so unscriptural. I mean, it's a wonderful song, I'm sure. And my mom used to love hearing that song, sung as a hymn, but it's totally unscriptural. Excuse me if that's your favorite. But you don't find Jesus in the shadows. He's the light of the world.
Right.
It's not very dark very long. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to be nitpicky or anything, but, you know, sometimes I wonder about things.
Yes.
I'm not, you know, do you ever say about things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, so do I. But I want to be looking for things that God's looking for. And I want to find out, I want to seek out those that are lost. And sometimes, note that he came to seek and to save. That means he's doing everything he can to discover and find those people so that they can come to faith in him. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Look at this. The prophet writes, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be commander over his people." You see, God is in pursuit of a man that's got a heart after him. A man who has a heart and allows the things to touch his heart that touch the heart of Father God. What touches the heart of Father God any more than the people that are lost? The people that are misused and abused? People that are maligned, forsaken, and rejected? God's looking for men and women whose hearts are touched by what touches his heart. And I want to be that kind of a person. One of the things that I've discovered after having gone through the liver thing, and when they took my liver out, my old liver out, and they put the new one in, the doctors were shocked that I lived because the liver is about the size of a small football. It's the largest organ in your body. And when they took my old liver out, it was the size of a fist, and it was hard as a rock. And they couldn't believe because it literally wasn't functioning. And you can't live without a liver. But they couldn't figure out how it was alive. You know, but since that time, one of the things I've discovered, my heart, I'm finding myself that things stir my emotions a whole lot easier than they did before. I'm finding myself, I sometimes get teary-eyed just watching some dumb movies on TV. Or stupid TV programs, you know. And I find my heart, when I see people and I look at them, I'm spending time in airports and I look at people and I see, you know, the faces and my heart goes out to them because I know that they're going through something, and I just want to, you know, like that old TV commercial, reach out and touch someone. I want to be able to reach out and touch those people. But God's looking for people who've got a heart after the things that He's got a heart after. What's your heart after? What are your affections set upon? There's a lot of good things we could have our hearts set upon. But I want to set my heart on what's on His heart. And I believe that we can be that kind of people. John chapter 4, verse 23. I love this one because this is talking about you that are in this room this morning. Look at somebody and say, He's getting ready to talk about you, okay? I'm going to do it in front of you instead of behind you, okay? But John 4, 23, it says, but the hour is coming and now is. That means it's now. It's now. It's right now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father, listen to this, is seeking such that will worship Him. God's looking for worshipers. God's looking for worshipers. I know that the traffic here is horrendous during the days, you know, during what is called rush hour traffic. And believe it or not, traffic is horrendous in Central Florida. And my favorite word when I'm driving on 441, which goes right through a little, not a little area, but the president was just there Thursday. The president came. He went to an area called the Villages, and it's in Central Florida. I mean, it's the fastest growing 55 and up age group community development. They've got about 9 villages, and I don't remember. They got like 30 golf courses and all kinds of stuff, but it's these little, you know, we know it's fall time in Florida right now because the colors are changing. All the license plates now are from New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Canada. That's how we know that the fall has come, is because the license plates colors change. But my favorite word driving down 441 is accelerator. The other day I was driving down 441 and I saw this car going down the road, and it didn't have a head. Nobody, it was in the driver's seat. And I thought, it's one of those driverless cars. But I knew it couldn't have been that because it was so old. It was an older car. And so I got up next to it finally, and I looked over. And I'm telling you the truth, it was a little old lady, and she was looking between the bottom of the steering wheel and the top of the dash. That's how short she was. And she was going 30 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. And I, in Jesus' name, I did it sweet. The second time when I saw who it was. But seriously, listen. Even you want God to show up when you're on the expressway and you're in traffic, or there's somebody that just cut you off. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. The Bible says that He'll seek out those that are worshiping in spirit and truth. You know, you've got a tough day at work. Maybe raise your hand. Number one, that gets you some attention at work. But just begin to worship the Lord. You see, worship isn't confined to a locale. Worship emanates out of a heart. Here's where I'm beginning to land, okay? All this has been kind of introduction. Ezekiel 22:30. Listen to this. I sought for a man, and this isn't gender exclusive, okay? But I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall, and note this, stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. God's looking for men and women that'll stand in the gap. You can have a Jericho march here tonight. Unless you're Pentecostal, you don't know what that is. But God's looking for people that'll stand in the gap for our nation.
Amen.
I've lived through Eisenhower. I've lived through Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon. Lived through all the presidents since, you know, obviously. And I don't know that I've ever been so disappointed in our nation because of all of this venom that's being spewed out. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you stand on. I mean, there's enough that's going on either side. But God's looking for some people that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that, you know what that literally means when it says stand in the gap? That means that you're willing to take the hit on behalf of those that you're standing in the gap for. You'll take it on. And how do we do that? We do that through intercession and prayer and giving of thanks. God's looking for men and women of prayer, people that'll stand in the gap and be a fortress, be a protector, be a guardian of the people, that will stand in the gap. And we'll decree and declare that you'll have to go over our dead body before we'll cede any ground to the works of darkness. You see, it's time that the church, we've been milquetoast, and the Lord's waking us up to become militaristic. And I'm not talking about, you know, being some kind of extremist where we, you know, actually use weapons and all that kind of stuff. It may come to the point where we have to defend ourselves. But what I'm saying is that God's looking for a church, not a wimpy, whiny bunch of sitting around, you know, twiddling their thumbs, praying for the rapture to come. Jesus is looking for a church that's strong and mighty and speaking the works of darkness and pulling them down in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
God's looking for men and women that'll stand in the gap. And what that means is that you're willing to take the hit. I'm willing to take that on, not vicariously like Jesus did, but I'm willing to take the hit. Lord, if you're going to do it, you've got to come through me. You know, what did Moses say? Listen, Lord, before you do anything to Israel, you've got to do it to me first. You see, that's the kind of heart of a man and a woman that God's looking for. Somebody that will stand in the gap. What does it mean to stand in the gap? And what does that mean for us who are men, that are women, husbands and wives and all of that? Listen, 1 Timothy, look with me, and I've preached on this, and I've got a series on each one of these four kinds of prayers but I'm not going to give it to you this morning, of course, because each one of those is about an hour and 10 minutes of teaching. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, in other words, these are priorities. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. We need to pray for those that are in authority over us, regardless of the moniker of the I was going to say the demonic, and I meant to, you know, whatever political party they're a part of. It doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat or independent or whatever. Listen, we need to pray for those that have the rule over us in terms of civil government, that we may lead it. And here's why. That we may lead a quiet. Excuse me. Where'd that come from? I know, my esophagus. But then we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and our Savior, who desires what? That all men would be saved. Listen, nobody is beyond redemption.
That's right.
I tell people this all the time. I used to say this as a pastor. People would come up to me and say, oh, pastor, I don't know, my friend, my family member, my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, whoever, you know, they're in the hospital and doesn't look. And I'd always tell them this, as long as there's life, there's hope. I want to tell you, as long as there's breath, there's hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. Listen, nobody is beyond the redemptive touch of Almighty God.
Amen.
I don't know if you read this, but one of the longtime atheists just recently, I'm spacing his name, his story's been plastered all over Facebook, that he recently came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and just before he passed away, he wanted to be baptized in water, and they had to get a wheelchair so that he could get taken into a swimming pool and he was baptized. He pronounced that there is no God and he came to faith in Christ. Listen, there's nobody. As long as there's life, there's hope.
Amen.
As long as there's breath, there's a possibility of that. And that word, that third word of supplications, prayers, and intercessions, giving thanks, it's that third one of intercessions. And what it means is, in the Greek, it's entouxis, which means to mediate or stand for somebody else. Now, here's where I'm going. Isaiah 53, verse 12. I want you to see this. I hope you have a Bible you can underline or an electronic Bible that you can highlight some of these words. Isaiah 53, 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. Now, this is a prophetic declaration of the coming of Messiah, okay? That's who he's talking about here. But, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. In other words, this, he's willing to die over this. You know, that's the difference between a conviction and an opinion. I've got opinions about everything. I've got opinions about things I don't know anything about. You just ask me and I'll tell you my opinion. But there's some things I've got convictions on. And that's where I think it's not going to change. You know, I'm willing to die for that conviction. What are you willing to die for? Is there anything that you hold that close to you that you're willing to die for? And then he said, because he's poured out his soul unto the death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, he was accounted. The word numbered there is an accounting term that means that he was accounted as a transgressor. That's talking about Jesus when he was on the cross. And he bore the sins of many, and note this, and made intercession, underline that word or highlight it, intercession, everybody say intercession, intercession for the transgressors. Now, being numbered with the transgressors means that we act like Jesus did. We take on us the judgment through our intercession so that people will be given an opportunity to come to an experience and have an encounter with the Lord where they can respond without being manipulated or schemed or plotted or anything. That's what that means, to be that we stand in the gap and we say, Lord, let whatever was going to come, let it come so that they can have an opportunity to hear your good news. Now, we talked about standing in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30, that I sought for a man to stand among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap. Now, as I said, that refers to Jesus. But listen to what's Jesus doing now? What's Jesus doing now? Romans 8:26 and 27 says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession accord for the saints according to the will of God. God says this, I'll help you pray like I pray in intercession. Now for us, it may be on an inarticulate language we don't understand. That's why some people say, well, why should we pray in tongues? Why should we pray in the Spirit? Because we're praying the will of God. And Satan doesn't understand tongues.
Amen.
If he understood tongues, then we'd really be in a bad shape. Yep. But he doesn't, and he can't. And so when we're praying, it's like we're sending the prayers behind the lines of the enemy, because the enemy doesn't even understand what's going on.
Amen.
And so when we pray in the Spirit, it's not just so that we can feel good. It's so that we can be the people of God that God wants us to become. God says, listen, I'll teach you how to pray like me, but you've got to trust me pray in your tongue, in your heavenly language, if you want to use that terminology. But what does it mean to intercede? Look with me in Isaiah 59. I told you this is going to be like a sword drill today. Isaiah 59. He saw that there was no man. Again, we're not talking gender here. We're talking about mankind. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. That there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him and his own righteousness, and it sustained him. Now, the word intercessor here in Isaiah 59 and in Isaiah 53, it's an interesting Hebrew word. And I'm not trying to be a scholar because I have to, anything I get from the Hebrew and the Greek, thank God for Strong's exhaustive concordance.
Amen.
So, I'm not like Jim. Jim, we used to be able to, spit out, and this is what it says in the Greek. Well, how would I know?
It's Greek to me.
Yeah, it's Greek to me. It was Greek to me when he was talking about the Hebrew, But he was a Greek scholar, by the way. The guy was brilliant. But that word intercessor in the Hebrew is paga, P-A-G-A. Just say that with me, paga, paga. That's the English transliteration of that Hebrew word. But it's paga. And what it means is this. Look with me, and I'm going to show you this. This is so cool, boy. You are going to get excited about this, girl. Joshua 19:11. And their border went toward the west and went to Dabesheth. And extended, underline extended. Okay, there's a reason. We're going somewhere. And extended along the brook that is east of Joker, I guess. Look at verse 22, same chapter, Joshua 19. And the border reached to Tabor. Whenever I see this word, I think about the word Shazam, Batman. But that's not what it is. But extended toward Shazima and Beth-Semes. And their border ended in the Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. Now note that word, the border reached. Underline that word, reached. I'm going somewhere. You want to go with me? Good. Because that's where I'm going. Look at verse 26, the second half of it. And it reached. Underline the word reached. And it reached to Mount Carmel westward along the brook Shior Libah. Verse 27, the first part. Turned toward the sunrise to Beth Dagon, and it reached, underline the word reached again, to Zebulun and to the valley of Jephthah. Look at verse 34. That word reached, again, underline. Now look at verse 34, first part. And from Helek, the border extended, underline that word extended, toward the west. Now, each of these words that I just read to you in Joshua 19:11, extended, verse 22, reach, 26, reach, 27, reach, 34, reach. It's the same word in the Hebrew as intercessor.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Same word.
Wow.
Same word. Now, they're paga. And what God, I think, is trying to tell us as the church today, when he says, I want prayers, supplications, and intercessions, what I think he's saying to us is that there's a realm, an intercession, where we literally have got to be willing to push back the borders that the enemy has tried to impose upon us and say, if you can't cross that border because it's not politically correct. Well, listen, I don't want to be politically correct. I'd rather be biblically correct.
Yeah. Amen.
Who says that I can't go there? Who says I can't stand on a street corner and decree and declare the presence of God and push back the borders of the enemy?
Yes.
Mm. That's right.
Who says I can't stand across the street from a school and say, you will not have our teenagers. You will, you know what One of the top three killers of teenagers is today in America? Suicide. You'll not have our teenagers. I refuse to allow that to happen in Jesus' name. And so I stand. And guess what? If one can put 1,000 to flight, if one can put 1,000 to flight, come here, bro. You came in late. I'm going to pick on you.
Travis.
Isn't that neat? You come in late and I pick on you. Okay. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put how many to flight?
10,000.
Come here, hon. Okay. One can put 1,000. Who's a math major?
Yeah. All math challenged.
You're all math scholars.
Challenge.
It would be the most unusual congregation I've ever been in.
No, no, no.
It would
be 100,000.
Challenge.
Okay. One can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. Three can...
100,000.
A bunch. And guess what? If we added one more, we would have bunches. Listen. Did you just hear what I said? Listen, God's wanting people that will come together and stand against the forces of darkness and push back the stronghold.
Amen.
You see, they're, thank you. By the way, didn't they do a wonderful job? It's just like we rehearsed before service. But listen to me, friends. Listen, God's looking for you and me to push back the works of darkness that keep telling us you can't do that. That's for church. Can I tell you, the church doesn't need to act like the church when we're here. The church needs to act like the church when we walk out the door. And when we see the sick, we speak healing and health and strength. When we see those that are disenfranchised, we welcome them to God's forever family. And we minister to them like Jesus would minister to them. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Listen, if you say amen, I preach faster and shorter. Amen? Normally my wife, she says amen. But seriously, there's a time when it comes in intercession before the Lord that we need to push back the borders of the negativity and the influences that the enemy's trying to bring upon our families. We need to push back and extend the border. Listen, I never had the honor to serve in armed forces, but my brother did. He was in Vietnam. And anybody that served in Vietnam will understand this from a military, strategy. They would establish a point, and they would establish a perimeter. And inside that perimeter was considered a safe zone. Okay? And to take over, it was a great strategy. The problem was we didn't have enough manpower, didn't have enough firepower, et cetera, in Nam for it to prove itself effective. But what? Then they would expand the perimeter. And the perimeter, the further out it went, the greater the safe zone, the larger the safe zone became. I believe it's time for the church to not just establish a perimeter, but I believe it's time for the church to push back and to extend its reach into the works where the enemy has said that we cannot do that thing.
Amen.
You know, what the number three movie just a few weeks ago was a Christian film made by the guys that started off doing Fireproof. Overcome. Listen. Who says Hollywood is the only one that can purvey things that... I believe God wants to raise up people to do that.
Amen.
To invade that area, that domain, that arena. He wants us to extend that. Now, here's a graphic illustration. Go back to Joshua 19. Now, listen to this. Joshua 19:47. 2 years before I was born. And the border of the children of Dan went beyond these. Because the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem. Okay, again, underline that word Leshem. It's not Pagah, but it's an interesting word. Against Leshem and took it, and they struck it with the edge of the sword and took possession of it and dwelt in it. And they called Leshem, underline it, Dan, after the name of their father Dan. That was the tribal ancestor that they had when they came into the land of promise. Now, here's the story. The tribe of Dan needed more space because the area that they had been given was not large enough for them. And they came up to a group of people called Lamech, and it was an area of Lamech. And these people had pushed back Dan so that they couldn't inherit all of the land that had been promised to them by their forefathers and by what God had given them under Joshua and under Caleb and all of those guys. But they had a mandate to take possession. Can I tell you, you and I've got a mandate. It's called the Great Commission. To go into all the world and preach. It means to go into every people group, every sector, and preach the gospel. But that word Lamech in the Hebrew means gem. It literally means gem, like a gemstone in a diamond or a ring or something like that. In other words, it stands, it's a type of materialism. And materialism has pushed back the works of the kingdom of God so that things cannot be accomplished at the level that God needs them to be, so that we can be the last day people that God desires us to be. I believe we're living in the last days. I may not see the return of the Lord, but I tell you what, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for one in the sky. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see, Lamech had tried to crowd them back from the inheritance that was there. And they said, you don't have enough so that you can reach. You don't have what it takes to possess what we've got. That's what Lamech says. That spirit of Lamech. That stronghold of Lamech. But yet it was a divine decree. It wasn't something that they were trying to fabricate. What happened was that these were the people God had given them this land. It was theirs. You see, when they possessed the land, when they decided that they would push back the borders and extend, they not only got the land, but they got what was contained in the land too. And in this case, it literally was gems, stones of value. Listen, I want to tell you something today. The humanists, the New Agers, listen, I believe we need to push them back. Push back the strongholds that they operate under. Now listen, you know that our battle is not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
It's not people. It's not people regardless of whatever label they put upon themselves. It's not the people that are the strongholds, but it's principalities, powers, or rulers of darkness of this world that rule in high places. And so as a congregation, as a church, as a member of the body of Christ, you and I have authority to speak to those strongholds.
Yes.
And declare the will of God.
Amen.
Listen, I want to read you a verse from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent now, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purposes of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, if that's our mandate, that's what we're here for. We have the authority to speak to the principalities that are ruling over Lanoka Harbor.
Amen.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Okay. A friend of mine in Florida is from this area, and I kept calling it Lanoka. He says, no, it's Gary. It's Lanoka. It's like you Yankees. Everybody calls the town near where Disney World is Kissimmee. It's not Kissimmee. It's Kissimmee. Okay. So you go down to Florida, you don't want to talk like a Yankee. You want to talk like a homegrown. It's Kissimmee, okay? So, that doesn't cost you anything extra. That's part of the package, okay?
Amen.
But listen, you tired of promiscuity and pornography? You know, more pornography goes out of the United States than any other single export item. Much of it's based in Los Angeles, and a lot of it's based in Miami and New York City. Listen, God's wanting us to push back. Who says that we have that's the way it always has to be? I say, no, that's a caving into the situation kind of scenario. And listen, there's enough Irish in me that I'm stubborn enough to say, ain't no way, Jose. I know that's not Irish, but you know, you understand. Listen, I'm gonna stand against that thing. Or we need to push him back. And how can we push him back? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, you know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is an entrenched mindset that if it's told long enough, it becomes to be accepted as truth. And the sad thing is that there's Christians who have strongholds in their minds that they've heard this lie over and over and over again, and it becomes entrenched in their mind. It tells them, no, you aren't strong enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not anointed enough. I want to tell you, there's enough anointing inside of you as a baby Christian. You I don't know if you've ever seen that picture of, I guess the one that I like is, what's the guy's name that they go into the closet and they go into another world?
Oh, Narnia.
Narnia.
C.S. Lewis.
You know, and one of these guys are standing there and the lion comes out and he's standing behind them. Listen, you've got the authority of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah behind you.
Yes.
And he's got a roar. But he wants you to be that roar. He wants you to be that roar. So we speak that. You see, I want to challenge you today. Extend the borders for your family. Extend the borders for your family. How do you do that? Today, when I talked to Kathy this morning before I came in the door, I spoke blessing over her and she spoke blessing over me. It'll happen at least once, probably two more times today yet. That's one of the ways. We just speak blessing to our family instead of cursing. Amen?
Amen.
We speak life. We speak life. It doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to be super duper romantic or whatever. Just speak life. Speak life. Speak life. What borders need to be back? What borders need to be pushed back in your life, in your family, in your church, in your area? Can I ask you a question? And maybe, I don't know, maybe you guys, what would you say is a stronghold that's over this area?
Drug addiction.
Excuse me?
Drug addiction.
There's enough authority in this room to take authority over drug use. You say, how do you know that? Well, Jesus started with just 12, and one of them finked out on him. And they changed the world, and they turned it upside down. What's a stronghold? in your neighborhood. What's a stronghold in your family? Let's push it back. I want to close by giving you a quote from a guy by the name of one of my heroes. He's with the Lord. His name is A.B. Simpson. He was an incredible man of prayer. And this is what he says, and this is the kind of prayer I'm talking about, of intercession. This is more than seeking. It is not so much the prayer that knocks at the gates of heaven and extorts an answer from an unwilling God. That's not the kind of prayer we're talking about. Here's what it is. As the prayer, having received the answer of promise, carries it forth against the gates of the enemy. We go against the gates of the enemy. That means against the positions of authority of those strongholds and those principalities and powers and rule. We go to those places and of the enemy and beats them down as the walls of Jericho fell before the trump and the shout of God's, of Israel's believing host. It is the putting its hand to the omnipotent head until we see his name prevail against all that opposes his will. And the crooked things are made straight. The gates of brass are open and the fetters of iron are broken asunder. That's the kind of prayer where iron, fetters of iron are broken. Like when Paul and Silas were in jail and they began to worship and praise the Lord. Who ever heard of somebody singing a song in prison? Well, Paul and Silas did the original jailhouse rock.
You know. Literally.
Exactly. And chains fell off. Listen. What are the chains that are holding your family? How many of you in this room, you've got family members, either immediate or extended family members, that are afflicted or with that stronghold that deals with drugs or alcohol? How many in the room? Anybody? Okay. There's a few. Listen, we have the authority. You've got the authority that you can speak to those strongholds in the name of Jesus. What is a stronghold? I mean, you guys have got an incredible location here. You know, the only thing is we need to get that sign up down there where the electric stuff is at.
Yes.
You got the four bolts there, everything.
Yep.
You know, just let's put up a sign saying, meet God here or something like that. God's house. No, it's Bayshore Fellowship. But seriously, listen, you've got to, and think about the people that drive by here daily, speaking blessing and saying, Lord, let them catch just a little bit of the residue of the presence of God from this place after we've met here on Sundays and on Thursdays. It's Thursdays? Sundays and Thursdays. That God let the people, and then as they turn, you know, I've been places where people would drive by and they were literally pulled in by the Holy Spirit to come and visit a church. God can do that. But we have to be willing to, are you content? Are you content with being forced back in so that you proverbially paint yourself into a corner? And then we pray for the Lord to come and deliver us from that corner. Listen, can I tell you, it's much, much better to push back the forces of darkness.
Amen.
And push them back and not be content. Don't be complacent. Don't be, you know, oh, well, if God wants us, he'll let us. Yeah. Listen, there's a measure of truth in that. But listen, God's looking for us to fulfill the mandate and speak against the strongholds of drug addiction, over the strongholds of all the other issues that may afflict this region of New Jersey. Why? Because these people that are driving up and down Highway 9 now, they need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So, Father, I pray this morning that we would be men and women of intercession. Lord, that we would be men and women of Pagah. That we would push back. That we would extend and reach beyond our self-imposed borders so that we can reach even the uttermost. Whoever or wherever that is. And I thank you for it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I bless your holy name. I bless your holy name. I bless your holy name. Father, any strongholds that are present in the lives of the people, Lord, strongholds that have kept a lie, perpetuating a lie about self-worth or authority or destiny, I vanquish that stronghold by the authority of the name of Jesus. I speak life. I speak abundance of life. I speak the authority by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah. And I thank you for that, Father. I just really sense right now you maybe haven't had it during the service, but that some of you just really wrestled against the stronghold of fear. And I want to take authority over that thing today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It has no right and has no authority. The Bible says that mature love, perfect love, drives out all fear. And I pray this morning for a revelation of the overwhelming love of Almighty God. Fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I render you harmless and ineffective in the name of the Lord. And I command you by faith in the name of Jesus, go! And do not come back. Father, I take authority over. Well, I just, it's like a heaviness over this area, Father. Not the church, Lord, so much as this area. I come against a weightiness of the enemy, and I decree today, Father, that the only weightiness that will be over this area is the kavod, or the heaviness of God. I thank you, Lord, that people, as they drive up and down U.S. 9, Lord, that for a half a mile away, on either direction, Lord, that as they come, that there will be a, they will be they'll be saturated by your presence, Lord. And they'll be compelled to seek you out. Father, I speak words of life and blessing over Pastor Scott and Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for them. And I speak blessing.
Yeah.
I speak blessing. Lord, I just pray that they'll be able to spend the balance of this day just reveling in the renewal and the refreshing of these last few days. Praise for that, Father. I thank you. Thank you. I thank you, Lord. And Lord, even if they've spent these times apart, and maybe not done stirring in your spirits, Lord. That you're doing and reviving and refreshing and renewing them.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For anybody that's lost hope, Father, I come against the thief that would try to steal hope. Of the expectation. And Lord, there's been hopes that things have passed, Lord, but yet it's still occasionally like a kind of like a stubborn fire that won't go out. Lord, I pray that hope would be revived. And that expectation would be renewed. And not only renewed, but be realized. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many people were blessed today? Amen. Continue praying for Gary and his wife that he shall receive his blessings daily. Refreshing of anointing. Refreshing of healing physically for both of them. That wherever he goes,